The Sports Report is brought to you by Duracell PowerMat. Never worry about a low battery on your smartphone again with this revolutionary 24-hour power system. To find out more, go to DuracellPowerMat.us. Welcome to episode number 104 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. If you know someone who is a big college football fan, they do not want to miss this episode. Brand new shows of the Sports Report twice a week, every Monday and Thursday here on The Grizz. The show is free on iTunes. You can check us out there. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. If you want to give your predictions on the upcoming college football season, you can certainly do that on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Episode number 104. Well, the college season is officially here, and I'll tell you what, there are some interesting games tonight and tomorrow involving teams from power conferences. We are not wasting any time this season. You have to love that. Tonight, South Carolina is in action, only a 6.5-point favorite at Vanderbilt. The Gamecocks are ranked 9th in the country after winning 11 games last year. They beat Nebraska by 17 in the Capital One Bowl. South Carolina only has 11 starters returning, but, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, Marcus Lattimore is back from a torn ACL, and he is one of the best running backs in the entire country. That Vegas line at 6.5 surprised me. Thursday night road games can be tricky, though. Tomorrow, Tennessee takes on North Carolina State down in Atlanta, and Michigan State hosts Boise State. That's an early matchup of two top 25 teams, although Boise only returns 7 starters, including just 2 on defense. Kellen Moore is gone after tossing 43 touchdown passes and completing an amazing 74% of his passes a season ago. That guy was such a technician at the quarterback position. The Spartans also have to break in a new QB after 3-year captain Kirk Cousins graduated. Cousins is the only Michigan State quarterback to beat Michigan 3 straight seasons. Quite a feather in his cap. Sparty should be very, very good on the defensive side this year. The question mark is on offense. New quarterback plus the top 4 receivers from last year are all gone. We are just getting warmed up on the Sports Report's college football preview show. On Monday, I will take a look at the NFL. Today, we focus on the college game. And you have to love it. The great rivalries, the crazy fan bases, 75 to 100,000 fans screaming like mad on a Saturday afternoon. The youthful enthusiasm of the college players who aren't getting paid millions of bucks. Many will never play professional ball. They're just busting it for their teammates and their coaches and their diehard fans. Don't get me wrong. I love the NFL too. But there's something unique about college football and that whole experience. As far as which conference to start with, is that really a question? I'm from the Northeast. I graduated from Syracuse, but you know, homerism is not allowed here on the Sports Report. And any objective college football fan knows the SEC is the best conference in the land. Bar none, period, end of story. Actually, on second thought, make that an exclamation point, not a period. The SEC has won 6 straight national titles, 6 in a row. And last year, the BCS championship game was an all-SEC affair with Alabama beating LSU 21-0. I had the man, myth, and legend of national college football writers, Phil Steele, on my radio show last week for about 25 minutes. He's one of my favorite guests. If you don't know or haven't heard of Phil Steele, you're probably not a real big college football fan. He is an encyclopedia of college football knowledge. His preview magazine, which I have in front of me now, I take it everywhere. It is the best in the business. If you want pure information without the fluff, it's almost 350 pages. I call it the Bible of college football. Anyway, here's an incredible stat from Phil's magazine that illustrates the dominance of the SEC. Over the last 2 years, SEC teams are 29-15 versus teams from AQ conferences. AQ stands for automatic qualifier. So these are the major conferences, in other words, 29-15. The Big 12 has the second best record in the last 2 years versus AQ conferences at just 14-13. Look at that difference there. And as for all of the other power leagues, they are all under 500 in that category. That shows, in addition to the 6 straight national titles, of course, just how tough the SEC is. Heck, just look at the West Division alone. You have Alabama, LSU, Arkansas, Auburn, and now Texas A&M all in the same division. That's 3 of the top 10 teams in the preseason AP poll in the SEC West. Then over in the East, you've got Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, now Missouri. I mean, this conference is absolutely loaded. It's like a 21-year-old on New Year's Eve. That's how loaded it is. Let's start in the East. Nick Saban's track record speaks for itself. Actually, we'll start in the West. 2 national titles for Nick Saban, now with the Tide. Another with LSU in 2003. I don't see Alabama repeating. There are a couple reasons why. First, the schedule. And I think a lot of the national media bobbleheads out there don't pay enough attention to schedule. It is so important. Alabama opens up with Michigan in prime time in Arlington Saturday night. Can't wait for that one. They go to LSU on November 3rd. They go to Arkansas in week 3. They also have to go to Missouri and Tennessee. Those games are on back-to-back weeks. Now, Alabama is one of the top teams in the nation. They may have the best offensive line in the country. But that schedule, you have to admit, is really tough. Number 2, in addition to the schedule, the number of great players they lost. 4 Alabama players went in the first round of the NFL draft. Trent Richardson is gone at running back. And look at that defense. Dante Hightower, Courtney Upshaw, Mark Barron, Dre Kirkpatrick are all in the NFL. That is a ton to replace, even for a school like Alabama. Plus, their top receiver, Mays, is gone too. That's why I give a slight edge to LSU. Now, watching the BCS championship game was brutal. I wanted to take a rusty nail straight to my eyeball on a number of occasions in that game. The Tigers did not convert a third down until the fourth quarter. They didn't even reach midfield until the 7.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter. LSU had 92 total yards and only 5 first downs. Ugh. Jordan Jefferson looked like a deer in headlights at quarterback. Here's the difference this year. Zach Mettenberger. He's 6'5". He was at Georgia. Then he went to a junior college where he threw 32 touchdown passes and only 4 interceptions. Now he's at LSU. He's a big kid, strong arm. I think this will change the passing attack and make them not as one-dimensional on the offensive side. One interesting note, Philip Rivers of the Chargers, his brother Steven is also a quarterback at LSU. Bottom line, the forward pass is legal in college football, okay? You don't have to run it every down. And now the Tigers should have a much better passing attack. Jordan Jefferson never lived up to the expectations, never lived up to the hype. LSU's defensive line, I think, will destroy some teams this year. I'm serious about that. Big news with the loss of Ty Matthew, the Honey Badger. That will hurt the secondary. It will also hurt special teams because he was such a great punt returner. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist, the Bednarik Award winner. He tied for the team lead in tackles. I mean, this guy had two fumble returns for touchdowns. He also had two punt returns for touchdowns. The Honey Badger was all over the field. He was a dynamic game changer. He will definitely hurt his loss. But the top four running backs are all back, and the Tigers get Alabama at home this year. So I like LSU's schedule a little bit more. If you want a dangerous team, how about Arkansas from that same division? The Razorbacks were 11-2 last year, tying a school record for wins. They beat Kansas State by 13 in the Cotton Bowl. Their only losses were at Alabama and at LSU. No shame in either of those losses right there. Now, I would have liked to seen Arkansas be more competitive in those games. This year, Arkansas gets both those teams in Fayetteville. Tyler Wilson returns for his senior year at quarterback. He threw 24 touchdowns and only 6 picks last season. That's a great ratio there, 4-1. He can't do much better than that. Their top two receivers are gone in Wright and Adams, but I think this offense should still put up points. The questions are on defense and also at head coach. John L. Smith takes over for Bobby Petrino. You know that story by now. He was let go for off-field issues. Arkansas-Alabama will be here soon. Mark your calendar. That is September 15th. That is a huge game in the SEC, and it's only a few weeks away. Now, when you look at the other division, look out for Georgia because of their schedule. They don't play Alabama. They don't play LSU. They don't play Arkansas from the West. That is gigantic right there. Again, pay attention to schedules. The Bulldogs return their starting quarterback, running back, top two receivers, plus 9 starters are back on defense. Georgia does have an early road game, week 2 at Missouri. And Missouri was 8-5 last year, finished strong. They won their last 4 games. And then they have a big one at South Carolina on October the 6th. But the schedule is very favorable for the Bulldogs. Anytime you can dodge those teams, you know, from the West, like Bama, LSU, and Arkansas, you'll take that. Now, there's some buzz about the Florida Gators with 10 starters back on defense. I just don't like the fact that they're unsettled at the quarterback position. That is the marquee spot on the field. In my opinion, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't win. I don't care if it's high school, college, the NFL. If you want to win big, you need a QB, that field general out there, the guy who makes everything run smoothly. And the Gators were only 7-6 last year. It's not like they won 10, 11 games. Rainey and Demps are gone. So I'm wondering about who the playmakers are going to be on offense. You always think about, you know, these Florida teams with their tremendous amount of speed and the game breakers. I don't know that I see that on this Florida team. And this year, they're at Florida State to end the season on November 24th. The Seminoles won this matchup 21-7 last year and 31-7 in 2010. Speaking of Florida State, I mentioned Phil Steele was on my radio show last week. He really surprised me by picking the Seminoles to win the national title. And he picked them before anybody else. There have been some other media bobbleheads out there that have since jumped on the bandwagon. He was the first guy. And he's not just talking about the ACC. He is talking about the national championship for Florida State. Phil says they have the best defense in the country to go along with 17 returning starters. They have a manageable schedule. They get Clemson and Florida in Tallahassee this year. And when you look at their roster, you want some experience. You want upperclassmen. They have 56 juniors and seniors on their roster. That's an experienced veteran football team right there. Here's my beef with Florida State. Almost everyone raved about their defense last year, and I saw them give up 35 points to Clemson, 35 to Wake Forest, and then I saw Florida State lose at home to Virginia late in the season. Have you heard the saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me? I can't pick the Seminoles to win it all because of that. I know EJ Manuel got hurt for part of last season, but last time I checked, the quarterback doesn't play defense, and they gave up 35 at Wake Forest. If you're the best defense in the country, you need to be better than that, and last year they were not. Now, maybe this year will be a different story with more experience there. They can get after the quarterback. I know that for sure. They should rack up some sacks, and the schedule's not bad. But last year, some of those games just soured me a little bit on Florida State. They'll still be good, and in the ACC, yeah, they should be the best team there. But national title, not so sure. This is episode number 104 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Great to have you aboard for our huge college football preview special. New shows twice a week, every week here on the Grizz, every Monday and Thursday. And again, coming up Monday will be the big NFL preview, so don't miss that. I'll go through the NFC, the AFC, give you all my predictions there. The show is free on iTunes. If it's free, it's me. Keep those five-star reviews coming. And also thanks to the great people at Apple for promoting the show. Love spreading the word about the Sports Report. And you can follow the show on Twitter at the Sports RPT. That is the handle for the Sports Report. We're on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Keep those tweets coming. We are brought to you today by Duracell Power Mat. This is a 24-hour power system. And hey, football season is here. You need your devices to be charged up, right? I mean, you got a lot going on during football season. High school, college, the NFL. How many times have you had to deal with a low battery on your smartphone? Every day, right? You're on the phone, you're talking with someone, or you're on the internet, just like that. Battery dies. It happens to all of us. It doesn't have to, thanks to the Duracell PowerMat system. Their mission is very simple. Keep your devices powered up at home or on the go. The PowerMat, that's where it all starts. The PowerMat is a sleek charging hub for up to three devices. And all you have to do is literally attach the wireless case to your smartphone and then simply set your phone down on the power mat, and it charges right up. It cannot get any easier. There's also a portable backup battery. This little device gives you power in the palm of your hand when you're on the go. It has two convenient onboard connectors that are compatible with your iPhone, your iPod, most smartphones, ebooks, Bluetooth, and more. And once again, you can charge the portable backup battery by simply placing it on the Duracell PowerMat. The website is DuracellPowerMat.us. Charging, I'm telling you, it cannot get any easier. To find out more about this revolutionary system, go to DuracellPowerMat.us. We are charged up today on the Sports Report, episode number 104. I'm Paul Roberts. Keep the tweets coming at the Sports RPT. All right. Spent a lot of time on the SEC and Florida State for good reason. Now let's head out west, where you have two of the top five squads in the preseason AP poll. USC is number one for the seventh time in school history and the first time since 2007. The Trojans are back after a two-year postseason ban. And then there's Oregon at number five. With Stanford's Andrew Luck now in the NFL with the Colts, I think it's unanimous that USC and Oregon are the premier teams in the Pac-12 this year. If you're Stanford, I don't know how you lose an Andrew Luck plus two studs on the offensive line. I don't know how you lose those guys and stay at the same level. So I'm looking at USC and Oregon here. The Trojans are a legitimate national title contender, and they get my nod over the Ducks. They play November 3rd at USC. That is the same day as Alabama versus LSU. So you want to make sure your calendar is free on November 3rd because you have two doozies right there. Bama, LSU, USC, Oregon. That will shape the national title picture for sure. Last year, the Trojans went to Oregon, tough place to play, and won 38-35. And I believe this USC team is even more scary on offense. Matt Barkley returns at quarterback, 39 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions last year. He completed 69% of his passes. His top two targets, Woods and Lee, are also back at receiver. I'm a big Robert Woods fan. As is 1,000-yard rusher Curtis McNeil. Plus, remember, running back Silas Red transferred from Penn State to USC. He had 1,200 yards for the Nittany Lions as a sophomore last season. Trojans averaged 36 points per game last season. I don't see that going down. I mean, this is going to be a run-and-gun offense. The weakness, if there is one, is on defense. They allowed 35 points at Oregon, 43 at Arizona State, and 56 in that wacky triple overtime loss to Stanford. USC's top pass rusher, Nick Perry, is in the NFL now. The positive is 5 of their top 6 tacklers are back. The linebackers are very good. I give USC the slight edge over Oregon, but my man Phil Steele loves the Ducks a lot. Kind of surprised me because Darren Thomas, their quarterback, declared early for the draft, as did star running back LaMichael James. Phil thinks the offense could be just as explosive with DeAnthony Thomas. Everyone is raving about DeAnthony Thomas this season. And Phil says Oregon has its best defense in years. We'll see. I do know this. Chip Kelly is a tremendous coach. He's led the Ducks to 3 consecutive conference titles, the first time they've ever done that in Eugene. Oregon's defense gave up 30-plus points 5 times last year. And with Thomas and James gone, I'm leaning towards USC in the Pac-12. Trojans have 4 starters back on the offensive line, and that's something that I think is often overlooked. Oregon's offensive line is really good too. That's another thing a lot of fans don't really pay attention to. It is so important for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you have a big-time quarterback, you want to keep him in an upright position, right? And late in the game, when you have a lead, you want to run out the clock. You need to be able to run the football when the other team knows you're going to run the football. That's the key there. If you have a big offensive line, veteran offensive line, you can do that. So pay attention to what these teams have up front. It's not just fantasy football where you look at quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends. Those big fellas up front make a difference. Let's go to the Big Ten now. Here on episode number 104 of the Sports Report. I think you have 5 solid teams. I don't think you have any great teams in this conference. Wisconsin and Ohio State in the leaders, and Nebraska, Michigan State, and Michigan in the Legends division. Those are the 5 there. Ohio State is not eligible for the postseason, so they can't play in the Big Ten championship game. So Wisconsin is a no-brainer to get to the conference championship game out of that division. Maryland transfer Danny O'Brien takes over for Russell Wilson at quarterback. How about Russell Wilson, named the starter as a rookie for the Seahawks after they had given pretty big bucks to Matt Flynn? Good for Russell Wilson. Good kid. Danny O'Brien was really good as a freshman, not so much last year at Maryland. 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions with the Terps, but he does have experience. Monty Ball is back at running back. That should be a familiar name. All he did was rack up 39 combined touchdowns, tying Barry Sanders' NCAA record. So if you don't know about Monty Ball, you should know about Barry Sanders. If you're tying any of his records, that's a good thing. when you look at the Badgers' schedule, if they get past a road test at Nebraska on September 29th, I love all these big games in the first month, by the way. Tremendous. If they get past that game, they could go unbeaten in the regular season. Wisconsin plays Michigan State and Ohio State in Madison this year, and you know what a big home field advantage the Badgers have in Madison. The Buckeyes will be vastly improved with Urban Meyer at the helm. He won at Bowling Green. He won at Utah. He won two national titles at Florida. Braxton Miller is a mobile quarterback, which he likes for his system. And Ohio State has nine starters back on defense. They will not be 6-7 again for a long, long time under Urban Meyer. People are wondering about Penn State, a team that I follow very, very closely here in Southeast Pennsylvania. I think you can expect a 500 type season. I thought Bill O'Brien was a great hire with his NFL background with the Patriots. But this team is lacking talent on the offensive side. I think between 5-7 and 7-5, maybe they end up 6-6 this season for the Nittany Lions. Their offense could really struggle. Matt McGloin is not a five-star QB. He's a former walk-on. Silas Red, their top running back, is now at USC. Justin Brown, their top receiver, transferred to Oklahoma. Very good kicker in Anthony Farrah. He is now at Texas, so they lost a lot. Kevin Hapley, tight end, went to Florida State. Penn State's front seven defensively will be solid. Their linebackers are the real deal. They call it linebacker U. Mauti and Hodges are two of the best in the nation. The secondary, though, is inexperienced. I think, you know, if you're looking at how to attack Penn State, it's through the air. Don't be shocked, by the way, if Ohio University gives Penn State a run this Saturday at Beaver Stadium. The Bobcats have a nice quarterback in Tettleton. They won 10 games last year. Frank Solich has been around the block as a head coach, former Nebraska coach. That's an interesting game, and the line right now is only 6.5 for Penn State at home against Ohio U. I'm not talking about the Buckeyes. I'm talking about the Bobcats. Pretty good team. As for the Legends division, it's a three-team race. Michigan is getting a ton of hype, a ton. They're number 8 in the AP poll, but their schedule is downright brutal. They open up with Alabama. They play at Notre Dame week 4, at Nebraska at the end of October, and at Ohio State to end the regular season. That is a huge rivalry game, as you know. And the Nebraska game comes right after the Wolverines play rival Michigan State. That's tough. Also, keep in mind, last season, Michigan only beat 2 ranked teams. Only 2. So I think they'll be closer to 8 wins than 11. Their defense will be strong again. Denard Robinson needs to become a better passer. 15 interceptions last year. Needs to cut that down and also get that completion percentage up. He is an electrifying player in the open field. He's a dual threat quarterback, but needs to cut down on the turnovers. You know, that is the single most important stat in all of football. I don't care what level you're talking about. You turn it over, you lose. Speaking of becoming a better passer, that's a perfect transition to Nebraska. All I've heard is that Taylor Martinez went to a bunch of passing camps and clinics this offseason. He's ready to go. We'll see. The Huskers get Wisconsin and Michigan in Lincoln. That should help, but they do face Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back. Their schedule eases up after that. The top skill guys are all back. I need to see their defense step up. Last year, they were a huge disappointment. Fresno State scored 29 on them, Washington 38, Wisconsin 48, Michigan 45. Despite that, I'm leaning towards Nebraska to win the Legends division this year. I talked about Michigan State at the top of the show. New quarterback, all new receivers, but a defense that will keep them in games with 8 starters back. Sparty only gave up 18 points per game last season. They host Notre Dame on September 15th, and the Irish should have some of their suspended players back for that game. What a bizarre offseason for the Irish. I mean, it seems like every other week we're hearing about someone being suspended. And, you know, we're talking about quarterback, running back, some marquee positions here. Notre Dame's schedule, one of the toughest in the country, at Oklahoma, at USC, at Michigan State. Then they host Michigan the very next Saturday. The Irish also play Miami. Now, the Hurricanes aren't what they used to be. They play Stanford, and Miami-Stanford are back-to-back scenario in October. Phil Steele told me the Irish will win 9 games. I am not so sure about that. To the Big 12. We go next. Oklahoma was the preseason number one in 2011. Their best running back and wide receiver got hurt. The Sooners finished 10-3. They have 15 starters back, 8 on offense, and they picked up wide receiver Justin Brown from Penn State, who should help that depleted unit. They've had some off-field issues there at Oklahoma. Landry Jones coming back to school was huge. He is a Heisman Trophy hopeful. Their road games, when you look at the schedule, include Texas Tech, which is a huge revenge matchup there. Oklahoma lost 41-38 a year ago. And West Virginia on November 17th is a road game. The Mountaineers and TCU are in the Big 12 now. I don't know how fans can keep track anymore. I really don't. I mean, teams changing conferences left and right. That West Virginia game will be an intriguing quarterback duel between Jones and Geno Smith. West Virginia put up 70 points last year against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. 70. The big 7-0. One final note about the Sooners. They have a veteran offensive line with 102 combined starts among their returners up front. I like that, and I like their odds of going 12-0. Texas has 9 starters back on offense, but the quarterback play was very suspect. Both David Ash and Case McCoy were underwhelming. What the Longhorns do have is one of the elite secondaries in the country, which is essential against Landry Jones, Geno Smith, the versatile Colin Klein at Kansas State. Even with RG3 and Brandon Whedon gone to the NFL, there are still some very exciting quarterbacks in the Big 12. Back to Texas. They'll be better than 8-5, but I can't take them over Oklahoma because of the quarterback issue. Oklahoma State loses Whedon and Justin Blackman. In fact, only 4 starters are back on offense for the Cowboys. They were plus 21 in turnovers last season. I can't imagine that happens again. Okie State has a bye before playing Texas, which is nice. In November, though, they play at K-State, home against West Virginia, and at Oklahoma. That month will determine their season. Don't bet on 12-1 again, though. West Virginia will put up points. All their top skill guys are back, and Smith threw for almost 4,400 yards last season with 31 touchdowns. The question is their defense, which allowed 27 points per game in the Big East. Now they're in the Big 12. Big difference. TCU, a newcomer, has only 11 starters back and is facing a big step up in competition from the Mountain West to the Big 12. Their schedule is backloaded, and I think their streak of 4 straight 11-plus win seasons will come to an end. Now, here's a fun topic. When I asked Phil Steele on my radio show to give me the most overrated and underrated teams in the country, he said the most overrated are Michigan and Kansas State. Michigan, just because the schedule is so tough. I went through that. Now, Phil is a huge Bill Snyder fan. Who isn't? The man is in his 70s and is still getting it done at Kansas State. But it's tough to duplicate the magic the Wildcats had last year going 10-3. I mean, they really pulled some rabbits out of the old hat. They were outgained by 107 yards per game, yet managed to win 10 games. Think about that. That is unheard of. They won 5 games by 4 points or less. They won 8 games by a touchdown or less. That is amazing. Kansas State's quarterback, Colin Klein, is a fantasy football player's dream. He threw for almost 2,000 yards. He ran for over 1,100. But I don't see the Cats winning double digits again this season. Now, Phil's most underrated teams were Texas. We covered them. And we go down to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I'm not talking hoops. We're not talking basketball here. North Carolina. Underrated. Now, the Tar Heels are not eligible for the postseason, but their schedule is sweet. They don't play Florida State or Clemson from the Atlantic Division, and they get Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech both at home. Not a bad schedule for North Carolina. And again, with a lot of these teams, they may not have the talent that some other teams have, but when you look at the schedule, it adds up to wins. That's why I'm a big proponent of looking at that schedule. Now, drum roll provided by you. You've waited long enough here. My national championship pick, which is sure to fail. I'm going against the grain here. I know the SEC has won 6 straight national championships. I know about Alabama. I know about LSU and Arkansas and Georgia and all of these teams. I know. My national championship pick, USC over Oklahoma. I'm going outside the SEC. Alabama and LSU, don't get me wrong, great teams. They really are. And talent-wise, they're as good, maybe better, than USC and Oklahoma. But the schedules in that conference are so darn tough. And you know how it works. You lose a game or two. I mean, you lose two. Good luck getting in that BCS championship game. And when I go through these schedules in the SEC, I just think it's tough to run the table. Now, I know what happened last year. You know, we ended up with Alabama, LSU, and I thought that was the right matchup. I thought those were the two teams that deserved to be in that championship game. The game ended up being a dud. LSU could not move the football whatsoever. I think their passing game will be improved this year. So I have nothing against those teams. I just like the path to the championship a little bit more for Oklahoma and also for USC. Now, you know, you can say the Trojans may have to play Oregon twice, and I understand that, but in the regular season, they get Oregon at home, and last year, USC beat Oregon in Oregon, and I think this USC's team will be better. I do. So I'm going USC over Oklahoma. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Have I lost my mind not putting at least one SEC team in that championship game? Maybe I have. We're on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. The show is free on iTunes. You can listen to us there. And also, previous episodes are on iTunes as well. So if you're on vacation over the summer, you're busy at work, you missed a show here or there, you can go back and listen to some of the previous shows. Tell your friends about this one, episode 104. If they love college football, they will enjoy this show. Check it out. I'll be back on Monday with my NFL preview. The NFL season is less than a week away. Next Wednesday night, Giants, Cowboys, NFC East. You'll gotta love it. You do. I'm Paul Roberts. This has been episode number 104 of the Sports Report on GrizzlyProductions.tv.